finally did it. I have a major accomplishment in my political commentating career. I completely made it through a Democrat debate. It was hard. It was grueling. Just like a marathon, you have to pace yourself. Can't get too carried away. Can't take it too seriously. Man, those candidates are terrible. When Tulsi Gabbard looks like a moderate, you know you're off the left wing of the party. I have so much to say about this, but I'm going to limit it to the financial aspects of the debate today. And then also I want to talk about Blockbuster and GameStop and maybe a solution for GameStop. So if you know anyone who works at GameStop, work at GameStop yourself, or want to see GameStop to continue and not go out of business because they're finding, you know, they're having the brick and mortar struggles, this is a good show for you. And then tonight on Reform Jellicle, we're recording live. If you want to come help and support AD and I as we are trying this new venture and want to come and listen live and interact with us on the show, we'd love to have you there and love your support. We'd really appreciate it. We're doing that tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. This is How to Build a Tent. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Williams. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. If you go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, just like it says on this 15-ounce mug, you'll get this mug. You'll get a pint glass, and you'll get tons of other great benefits as well. And you'll be supporting us most of all. Don't forget about our book club, Never Split the Difference. That is coming up. It's going to be every month, the last Tuesday, and we'll do a live podcast for that. So I'm just finishing up the book and summarizing it so that we can make it efficient, and then look forward to hearing what you guys thought about the book and talking about it too. It's a great opportunity for you guys to be on the show, on a podcast show as well. All right, so let's get into it. First of all, I just want to talk about the opioid crisis because it's starting to get really obnoxious to me, and it's just becoming a political talking point to get people riled up and to get people to feel good about the candidate themselves. The most striking thing about the debate last night and all of the discussion about how the big pharma companies need to pay. Not one person, not one question was directed to what do we do with the doctors? You know, if you didn't know any better, you would think that the drug companies are selling directly to these patients, these people that are abusing the drug. There's no talk about personal responsibility either, but we'll leave that aside for now. You would think that the pharmaceutical companies were selling on Amazon and getting one-day delivery of these drugs. But we actually have these highly trained, certified, insured, professional people writing prescriptions for these drugs. And not one question, not one comment, not one solution, not one plan had anything to do with the doctors last night, the Democrat debate. And the reason why is they don't care about the problem. How many wars on X, poverty, crime, mass shootings, how many discussions have to be made? How many policies have to be implemented? How many rights have to be taken away before we realize that they don't care about solving the problem? The problem never gets solved. So why are they talking about it here? One, they want votes, but secondly, this is a shakedown. These pharma companies have already settled a lot of these suits, and yet they're still being a punching bag. And the problem is not going to change because it's the doctors writing the prescriptions. There is a safety valve, and it's supposed to be the doctor. Where is the accountability for the doctor? In eighth grade, I didn't even go to, I went to eighth grade for 2 weeks, got hit in the back of the head with a stapler, knocked unconscious in English class. English is dangerous. Public schools are dangerous. It was my first 2 weeks in public school too. No joke. I was in private school before that. I was addicted to Vicodin, taking a lot. Didn't even go to eighth grade. Had to take a test to pass to go to ninth, which says something about the education system. If I don't even need to go to school and I can still pass the the test to get through. That means that they just want to shake down and they're not serious about solving these problems. They just want money from the pharmaceutical companies. And like I said before, when you do this, it is increasing drug prices because we pay for them. Those who use the drugs, either through higher insurance premiums or paying for them directly ourselves. And it's also taking away from the money that these pharmaceutical companies could be using to solve other illnesses, to do research and development, to try to make other medical breakthroughs. And the shakedown is preventing them from doing that. You see, these people, they don't want to solve problems. They don't want to make people's lives better. They want power. They want money. And this is why they're doing it. And the evidence is they didn't talk about doctors once. The other thing is the hate on the rich. I mean, there is this new guy in there who made everyone else look young, made 70-year-olds look young. He's a billionaire, I guess. And they were all bashing on the rich people. They're all talking about how they're going to cut taxes. Excuse me, I had a notification go off. They're all talking about how they are going to raise taxes on billionaires, not millionaires, because they're all millionaires on stage. But if they really cared and they really thought it was this righteous act, they could have donated their money to the government themselves, but they don't. That billionaire on the stage doesn't pay one dime more in taxes than he needs to. I don't know for sure. That's my assumption. I bet he doesn't pay one more dime. I bet he uses tax write-offs. I bet he has expensive tax attorneys that are using and leveraging every loophole that they can find. Something that we don't have the privilege, us common folk, to have a whole army, a whole law firm of attorneys to lower our taxes. See, it's just a shell game. They're just a bunch of frauds. And if you know the issues, you will see through it. It's like before you fire guns, before you use guns, before you shoot guns, before you own guns, action movies are like really exciting because they're portraying like this image of how things are. But then when you learn about guns, when you learn how they're fired, when you learn about the noise they make, when you learn about the remnants that go off on them, the recoil of them, and all of these different things, you start watching these movies and be like, everyone would be deaf in that car if that gun went off. The windows are shattering and everyone here is perfectly fine. And I'm in my shooting gallery with the head protection on and I'm still hearing the shots. But somehow these people in an enclosed area, in this enclosed building, in this enclosed room, in this enclosed car, they are fine. And so you start seeing these things. And that is why it is important for us to be educated and not just be indoctrinated in public schools, in the government schools. Because they're setting us up for the brainwashing. They're setting us up for this game to be run on us. And it is our duty and responsibility to be able to point out and to identify these plays they're running on us. Okay, enough about that. I'm going to save some for tonight. The next thing I wanted to talk about, I saw this article where the Blockbuster, the CEO, could have bought Netflix, had an opportunity to buy them for $50 million, but thought it was a joke and Blockbuster was going to beat them. And I'm thinking in line with that, of GameStop, who's having similar issues. And I'm just trying to think, rookie move. I was thinking back in my high school days of what we used to do. I used to be a big Counter-Strike fan. And when I mean that, a Counter-Strike fan, we would go to these PC cafes, which were nothing more than just rows of computers with better internet than I could get at home, with a, you know, refrigerator with drinks where you can buy. And then you paid, I think it was by the hour, maybe it was even half hour and then by hour. But we would go as a crew after high school every day and we'd go play people in other internet cafes and the cafes themselves. And it was a great time. And I was thinking, what could GameStop do? And I think this might be an actual viable option for them, is since they have these brick and mortars, since they have these locations, why not create a subscription service, not that just streams games or delivers games, but actually has an experience where you can come and play the latest games with the greatest equipment, with the greatest internet speed, with the best TVs, with the best chairs, a sound system. You can sell drinks, you can sell food, you can sell snacks, and have a subscription service that you can come in and play, you know, however many times you want a month or by the hour or however business model you want to make. And then you can also sell games. You can continue your business model, but then you're leveraging the brick and mortar aspect that Netflix and that these other online companies aren't going to be able to take from you. And that was actually a really fun thing for me as a kid, is to be able to go to these places and play and have this community and have the latest technology and to play the latest games. And a subscription service, I think, would be great for that. So that might be something for GameStop to consider, to think about. You have to be looking and leveraging different ways that things have been done in the past in other industries to be able to compete. There are always opportunities to mix and match new ideas, innovative technologies that are not being used specifically in your industry or in your company, and use them to create new value propositions for your customers. I think GameStop's going to have to do something like that, because they are not going to be able to survive simply selling video games. So I would appreciate that if you guys who know anyone at GameStop or work there yourself would maybe think about this, and that could be a really cool opportunity, because I love when ideas come to fruition. Now, let's go out, be successful, think of ways that we can be innovative, like that example in GameStop. Let's be educated and not be deceived by the runs the politicians are making on us. And we will talk to you next time. God bless.